Hello and welcome to Spoilers Intended. I am Andrew, joined as always by Ryan.
I'm here, and this is a podcast about series and films.
It is. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
It's an unscripted. He said, I don't have my
press
thing in front of me.
X to doubt.
Press X. Like LA Noir.
I joined as with Ryan and then also Steven.
I'm here, and Ryan stole what I was going to say because I was like, if we don't jump on this, it's going to be said somewhere.
We left the door unlocked, and Steven walked in. So dang.
Had a seat in my chair.
So welcome. We are talking about theater experience, which is a very open and broad term, but basically all of us love going to the movie theaters.
Yeah.
So why else would we have this podcast?
I know, right?
That'd be wild. We all three hate it.
I hate going to the theater, but we have to review this film.
But sometimes movies. You can have bad movie theater going experiences.
Oh, a lot of the time.
Actually, I'd say more times than not.
Especially nowadays, coming back in post-COVID, like everyone forgot how to just sit in a chair for 2 hours.
But if you are like us and maybe Tom Cruise, who also loves movies and popcorn.
And his ex-wife, Nicole Kidman, who really wants you to. Watch
I really want you to go to AMC.
Heartbreak feels good in a place like this.
Oh, no. I'm just getting PTSD flashbacks. But yeah, so, obviously this is unscripted. We don't really have a general idea of where we're going with this. But, you know, let's talk about kind of what you... Whenever you go to the movie theater, what snacks do you get?
Yeah. What's your ideal theater experience, and then let's also talk about maybe like what detracts from it, right?
Yeah, and we can talk about going to the movies and lining up like we used to do. Now we have obviously assigned seats, that kind of stuff. Like because it obviously the theater experience has changed drastically from when we were kids till now.
Well, let's maybe start there. So what do you remember the most about theater experiences when you were a kid?
So I remember probably the thing that I loved the most about going to the movies. Back when I was a kid, before I was like really like lining up.
I'll say pre-teenager. You can't drive yourself to the movies.
I think it was, I actually really didn't go to the movies that often when I was younger than like a teenager. But whenever we did go, I just loved getting popcorn. Because it's one of those things where like
popcorn. It's different than popcorn at home.
It is very different.
Yeah.
It's never the, like, because, like, even the movie theater popcorn.
No, it's nothing.
Orville Redenbacher doesn't know what a movie theater is like.
No, you got to slather that thing with fake butter.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What about you guys?
So when I was a kid, we had one theater in my hometown called the Princess Theater that was like a single screen, tiny theater. We didn't go there very often because the people that ran it were kind of weird and like...
God, Ryan sounds like he's 70.
the worst is... this is a horror story here, but like they... I bought a hot dog one time there from the concession stand.
It
was a hot dog. Piping hot on the outside and ice cold on the inside. And young Ryan did not have... as good of a gag reflex as adult old man Ryan does. And I was like, in the middle of this theater.
Did it like shoot out of your throat? Just like out of the back of the head?
It was very much like one of those. You know when you see a kid have an absolute meltdown?
Yeah.
It was that. And my parents couldn't figure out what was wrong. And I couldn't get the words together to describe the very complex idea of like, this hot dog is hot on the outside, so it burned my mouth a little, and then it was frozen cold in the middle, and the sensation made me want to yarts right there in the aisle. Anyways, moving past that very traumatic experience, in the town nearby us, we had a Regal and we had a Malco.
I remember Regal cinemas.
Oh, yeah. We would always get like, it was like half the movies would go here, half would go here, and there would be some that overlapped, but there would always be like certain movies like made a distribution deal.
Because that's basically back in the day where like you actually had the movie theaters that could bid for certain movies.
Right.
Yeah. Well, there wasn't just like two movie theater chains. There's competition. And it was like, well, if we want to watch this film, you have to go to the Regal, but if we want to watch that, you have to go to
AMC or Carmike.
Well, so for me, it was always, I loved going to the Malco because they had the way better arcade in the lobby. Like they had so many cool
priorities.
Games. And whereas the Regal had like just busted games, like half the buttons didn't work. They never like fixed the, so for me, we would always get to the theater early. I would play some arcade games for a little bit while we waited for, you know, I don't know. This is pre-cell phones.
Yeah.
You just go way early to the movie. Well, we'd probably be like at the mall shopping.
Because you had to fight for your seats.
Yes.
Well, also, like, there was so little competition for your time that I'm like, yeah. during the summer as a kid, and your parent, you're like, your mom would be like, well, let's go see a movie. Let's just, you know, open the paper, see what's.
Mm-hmm. Opening the paper right? to finally oh, yeah. print
the movie times in it. Dude, like, we're old. Oh, yeah. my God.
I remember calling the number, the theater number.
Movie hitting, phone?
Like, not movie phone, but the.
Welcome to movie phone.
The theater itself, and you'd be like, for showtimes, press one. And then inevitably, you're listening and you're waiting, and somebody would be like, hey, where did you put the so-and-so? Oh, I put it over underneath that. Is playing at 5. Wait, what is? I missed it. Was that it?
Well, back in the day, too, like, you dial in that, it'd be like, for touch tone phones, press one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
See, that's getting like real old.
We are unlocking some core memories.
We really are. Jeez. But to me, it was the experience was you sit down, and mm-hmm. I was so excited for trailers. And
oh, yeah, because trailers were different too.
Well,
yeah.
also, but like, how else are you going to know what's coming up?
100%.
You can't go on YouTube to watch the trailer. Because
even back then, like, they didn't put the trailers on television as commercials.
Nope.
That only happened like... the week of release, maybe.
And it was like yeah. limited. Trailers, and that was it.
Yeah.
yeah.
So back in our
only,
day.
Yeah, the only place to see them was the movie.
How many
yeah.
gray hairs do we have? Good Lord.
But you sit down, and for me, my snacks of choice was always peanut M&Ms and popcorn. That was, to me, snackable. They're small. It's like, you know,
yeah.
chocolate, sweet, salty, and then a big Coca-Cola.
Steven?
Oh, man, you got to have the popcorn.
Well, yeah, I mean, popcorn.
It's
popcorn
always. To me, it's a given.
Always.
It is.
Honestly, it's the memories of, I haven't thought about this in just forever, of just, you know, it's the summer and, like, your mom's looking for stuff to entertain two you know, kids who are just mm-hmm. brats probably because you can only spend so much time outside sweating in Alabama, yeah. you know? So we'll go to the movie theater and, you know, what's playing, what's going on. Like, what was it used to like the morning shows would have like the movie reviewer like on the it.
Coming up, yeah.
Yeah. Like what's out, you know, that kind of thing. But like you just page through the newspaper and figure out what can we go see today? We'll go to the Galleria.
Well, and that's and also, you know, that's
Galleria 10.
Yeah. Well, that's also when you had like NPR and a couple of these other like radio mm-hmm. stations that did movie reviews mm-hmm. like the weekend or like basically the week after it came out.
Like the week right. of release. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember going with my mom and my sister and we saw Newsies mm-hmm. in the theater and like, we knew roughly what it was and what it was going to be about, but it got like incredibly critically panned.
Yeah.
And we went and we were the only people in the theater watching it. And it was awesome. Like, great film. You know, it's full of, you know, kid power or whatnot. Yeah. Yada, yada, you know, wheelhouse.
Kid power.
Wheelhouse for like an 8-year-old and a 13. Yeah, they put them in, you know, hamster wheels. That's how you generate kid power.
Kid power. So... So I have a question. What was the first or what is the most memorable opening night that you went to?
Opening night.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so had to line up, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours beforehand or whatever to make sure you got the good seats. Oh, this was man. Before, obviously, Boy. Like 2017-ish.
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, like assigned seating is pretty relatively new still.
Yeah, 2017, because I remember we had to fight for seats for Rogue One and then Last Jedi had assigned seats. At least in our theaters around here.
I do remember that, yeah.
I want to say it was, for me, the Star Wars Original Trilogy re-release with A New Hope.
Ooh. Well,
that's a good one.
Yeah, because other than that...
Like in 1996?
Yeah, 96, 97.
Seven? What year did that happen? That's when Special Editions came out, was 96.
Yeah, it would have been 96, because I remember... Who was with me? I know my brother was there. I want to say my uncle took us.
I remember seeing those. Ugh.
But that was the last time I like, well, one of the most core memories of like lining up. Because honestly, as a kid, if someone else was taking me, they had no patience to line up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I didn't go on opening nights most times.
No, we didn't.
It was just like not happening.
Oh, that's interesting.
I didn't and really then, go to opening nights until... Probably I was in like college.
Well, no, yeah,
so, well, I was under my own.
For me, like it's all high school and that kind of stuff.
In high school, I'm trying to remember. I feel like most of the time we didn't really go on opening nights either. We would just go on a Saturday. It would be like, let's go. We wouldn't even know what we were seeing. We would just get in the car, drive. Yeah, and
in high school, we would, you know, once we could drive, we'd all just pile in, you know, four dudes or whatever.
Yeah.
We'd pile in Friday night or a Saturday and drive. Like, literally, because it was still sort of the era where you would have different theaters would have different...
different movies.
But, you know, you didn't have the internet in your hand with a smartphone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. you're already out cruising around. So we just drive by the movie theater and see what was on the marquee.
Yeah.
And if we didn't like it, we go to the other one.
Oh, man, just walking up to the theater, and you're like, well, it's like, what, 7:30? We got, like, you know, what, 45 minutes till the next showing?
Yep.
Yeah,
let's do it.
They got an arcade, or if you're at the Galleria, you just, well, let's just go in the mall for a little while.
This is unlocking more core memories.
It's a simpler time.
incredibly innocent time, right?
Everything is connected, and it all sucks now. That's what I'm learning.
Well, so for me, the biggest opening night that I went to, outside of, I'll say, like Force Awakens, whenever it came out in 2015, was Fellowship of the Ring.
Yes.
And we went to the Brookwood Theater, which is just a local theater around here. It's not one of the bigger ones, but it was the one that basically everyone from my school and classes all went to. And we all lined up for the first, like, basically for opening night.
Wow.
And so all of us, like, it was really cool because we all, you know, obviously all of our parents are there because we're still, this was about 2001, so we're like eighth, ninth grade, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And yes, I know I'm the youngest one.
That's fine.
You are. Yeah. Oh, don't worry. We're going to get
into
this.
I wasn't going to say it. You said
it. But, you know, all of our parents are there and all the kids are there and we're all just like hanging out for pretty much an extended like hour and a half, somewhere around there while we're just waiting in line to go into the theater.
Yeah.
And I just like being in the theater with like all of our friends and everything like that. And then watching Fellowship of the Ring, which was just mind blowing at the time.
Right.
Was just such an experience that I'll never forget.
I don't think I've done that a lot. Like none of my friends knew what the Lord of the Rings were or even liked them, had never heard of them. So I remember I had to lobby as many people as I could to get us to go see it. And we went on Saturday, maybe four or five of us.
Oh, no.
So
and
I saw,
everyone that went to see it
four times in the first weekend.
Oh, I could never, I would have done
so
it.
So much time.
But like, I remember we went and I want to say it was like four of us and like everyone that went loved it, but we went on like a Saturday matinee, maybe Saturday night. Like the opening night thing just did not happen when I was growing up.
Dude, Fellowship of the Ring, I was in college.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm older than you, Andrew.
Just a bit.
Just a bit.
Yeah.
And I can still remember like a whole group of us, you know, we were in the dorm, we're all going to go see it opening night. And this was back when, you know, opening night was, you know, like the Thursday night before the Friday night releases.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually at midnight because it wasn't like the, open night's like Thursday at 8 p.m. You know, it was like this,
was
aid, this is actually on the Friday release. It starts at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this always, because these always came out in December, this was always right in the middle of exams. So it'd be like, everyone would like jockey their schedule around and be like, how do my exams land? Like who is coming to this thing at the midnight release, knowing that they have the 8 a.m. exam, you know?
Yeah.
You have to wait in line to get in the theater with just, because this is in Auburn, there are only like two theaters.
Right.
It's a pretty small place.
Yeah.
And every nerd who wants to see this is there.
Yeah.
Because it's open. There's only like three screens running at midnight or something. Yeah. You know, it's just not a big place. Those are some great times because,
Well, so the thing that's, you know, it's kind of one of those things where obviously, like, you know, we're all three, you know, 40-ish guys. And, you know, obviously we've...
There's 40 of us in here.
Well, you know, obviously, like, I don't want to just it be us nostalgying for, lost days or whatever.
The better times.
But, you know, because that's the thing is, like, it's a different experience now because we do have, you know, obviously everyone has smartphones. Everything's connected.
Now,
everyone knows what movie, like, I love having assigned seats now.
Yes, I
just
love
because I
knowing.
Don't have to fight
you don't
someone
have to fight
for
I
it.
Love knowing where I'm going to sit.
Yep.
I love the change now. You know, like movie seats don't suck anymore.
You can actually have a real reclining seat.
And like the way
the sound systems are way better.
Oh, yeah.
But like, the way a lot of them are done now, too, is the row in front of you, you can't even see those people.
Yeah, it's great.
Unless that dude is 7 foot,
yeah.
You can't see that they exist.
The stadium seating didn't happen until like the mid to late 90s. Like there was a big deal. Like if somebody tall sat in front of you, the whole time you're just leaned to the right.
There's an entire Seinfeld episode just for this.
For sure, yeah. Like, but it also, the worst part too is when a theater, like I remember the Regal near me, when it's getting towards the end of its life cycle and like it just smells. It's got like the carpet has a funk to it and you sit in the chair.
It's got all that that built up everything's a little fake sticky. Butter.
The pad on the arm of the chair is like ripped up like some kid's been just picking at it. Yep. And you sit down, you're like, I'm just uncomfortable. You know? Yeah. Like there's so much gum underneath the seat.
Dude, I still remember the Dollar Theater that's
off of Lorna.
Over on Lorna, back in the day, like watching a movie there and like looking at the floor because it was that was not stadium seating.
That was like early 90s.
But like looking at the floor with the light playing off the black floor, you could just see the silhouette of the mouse going around picking up the popcorn. It's like, man, there's a reason why. When you go to the Dollar Theater, it is a dollar. I don't get popcorn. You don't get a drink. You pay a dollar and you see,
see
a
movie. And they can't pay for mousetraps at the Dollar Theater.
Well, so one of the big problems about, you know, modern movie going is people just sitting on their phones either during the movie or during trailers.
Just in general. Just during the movie.
And, I've actually had a couple where I had a dude with a laptop.
Yeah.
Just like checking his email.
What are you doing, guy? Go to a Starbucks. I am and have always been, even as a kid. I don't know where this gene like happened because neither of my parents were really like this, but I am extremely particular about movie watching. Mm-hmm. Like I want it to be like fun. I want to be in the theater. I want to be focused. I want to no getting up to get drinks. We've got the drinks. Get in here. You're going to miss this part.
The people who are like midway through a film who are just like, I gotta go to the bathroom or I'm going to go get a refill. It's like, What are you doing? You came in here. You go to the bathroom. Well,
you definitely don't go get a refill because you have no idea how long that line is.
No.
And you could miss like half the movie.
Are you losing your mind? But see, what I figured out as I grew up is that like I had a couple of cousins that we would go to a lot of movies together, even in high school and on, that like they just don't care about movies like I do.
Yeah.
They're just like a fun time out. Mm. So missing entire swaths of the plot has just
nothing.
They would much rather go get some more Dr. Pepper. And I'm like, but it's like at this point.
But you paid money for the tickets. And that's kind of
that's,
where.
That's the part that gets me.
For me.
Tickets are so expensive.
It's not like we're paying a dollar for these tickets. And these are expensive tickets now.
But yeah, the cell phone thing drives me wild because most people, there's like a Venn diagram, right? Anyone who's terrible enough of a person to just play on their cell phone in a theater is also the person that doesn't understand that having your phone on maximum brightness does not make it more readable in the dark. You should have it on the most dim setting so your eyes aren't like screeching into the void, giving yourself LASIK in the middle of my screening. Instead, these people in front of me, it's like they open their phone and I can hear the like the light from the halogen bulbs. The
LEDs just like
I can hear each up. LED cell just
giving them a sunburn.
Yeah, like I hear the crackling. It's like, get off your phone. Like and this is what annoys me too, is because I'm so like into it that I am so respectful of other people who are into it that like if I get a text message, if it's something like emergency, if it's crazy, I will pull my phone out. I guard it close to my chest so that no light escapes. It's on the dimmest and I go, okay. It's not okay, you know?
Well, so that's why smartphones are very nice now. I'll definitely say that because I can
smartwatches.
Smartwatches. Yeah. Smartphones are nice too.
You can't see it, but he flicked his wrist out and looked at his watch and goes, smartphones are very nice right now.
And I was like, what's he trying to say?
It's so rude for you to call me out like that.
Anyways.
Yeah. So, but no, I mean, smartwatches are great because you can just check notifications that way and you're like, okay, no one's dying.
Right.
And
Yeah. But the other thing that drives me wild too is that like people that talk in the theater.
Or people just come in like 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Why did you buy
the time?
Why did you buy this ticket? You missed all the trailers. You missed the setup of the film.
It's done.
Missing trailers now is totally fine because trailers, one, are bad now.
They are. They give everything away.
Two, they're just available on YouTube now.
Well, that's what I was going to say when we were going, not to bring it back to the nostalgia.
No, we can still talk about it. It's just more like, I don't want us to be like, the old times are so much better.
It was
like,
such a, the rose-colored glasses, everything was wonderful.
There was
I didn't have to pay taxes. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was good.
Your parents had to pay those taxes.
They did. I didn't care.
But I didn't know about it.
Yeah. No, going to the theater and seeing a trailer for something you hadn't even heard they were working on.
No,
Pirates of the Caribbean was that for me.
Yeah. You didn't even know it. And then you see this trailer like, oh my gosh, I have to see this. Yes. What is this? You know, man.
It had such a different feeling now, because now you get like these trailers that come out, like, you know, like Deadpool or whatever.
You get the teaser trailer blip.
It exists for so long that now it feels, whenever you go see the movie, if you've watched the trailer even once, you've basically seen the whole movie.
It's like your reaction is, oh yeah, this.
Yeah.
And it's also the same trailer. Yeah. You don't even get like a better one in the theater. Yeah. But admittedly, it's because everybody's competing for so much of everyone's time nowadays that like you have to do everything you can to get people
to even look at your stuff for 1% of their day.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like the biggest thing I'll say about modern movie going experiences that I really do like, I love the, you know, HD 4K projectors.
Mm-hmm.
They're fantastic. I love the vintage film reel projectors. There's something nostalgic about it. It feels warm and fuzzy.
We have a whole tirade about that with Oppenheimer.
Oh, don't get me started on my Oppenheimer experience. But then
it was warm and fuzzy.
The benefit of that is that, like, in theory, that's disgusting.
One of the worst movie going experiences was Barbenheimer weekend.
Yeah, that was a rough one.
But by and far, that one was of the worst one. I've ever had.
I had a fantastic experience in the theater.
I had a fantastic experience.
The HVAC was working fine.
Whatever. Anyways, back to the good things. I love the recliners of modern recliners are really nice. I love the assigned seating.
The better screens, better sound.
Better sound,
system.
Better screens. All that is like great.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, like, despite all of that, there's still little things that happen here and there. Like, they have now where you can have food delivered to you your seat, which is like, what a first world problem this is. You know, we've solved the issue of you can get your nacho fries while you sit and continue to watch. The people that bring it out, and then now the guy next to you, I'm just smelling his nacho fries going like, I don't think I've ever wanted nacho fries this bad before.
But you're like halfway through the movie. So like,
it's like, quit it.
Well, okay. So then, we know, talking about food, using your adult money now, if you go to, I'll say, a big movie that you want to go see, that you've been looking forward to for the movie theater experience, what are your snacks? What do you get?
Popcorn and a large Coke.
I rarely get snacks nowadays. I just don't do it.
Oh,
I don't.
Lord.
Because here's why.
He's too health conscious now.
No, not even that.
He's too old.
I have gotten stale, terrible popcorn the past 5 times I've been to the movies.
That's actually very surprising.
At different AMCs in different locations around here.
This is what happens when you're a monopoly. You can just serve anything.
They just don't care.
They can serve it.
The problem is there's no fresh popcorn being made. I can see that it's just a big
vat. It's just a big,
They're going to go through this entire stale vat. The past, like, 3 or 4 times I've gotten a Coke, it's been flat in the machine every single time. I have had...
Now, I think that's more of a freestyle machine problem.
It could be. It could be the freestyle thing.
Freestyle machines are terrible.
To me, in the past, I would say calendar year, I have had some of the worst snack experiences of my entire life in the theater. So I have, the past like 4 or 5
written
movies,
it off.
I just wrote it off, and I'm much better for it.
You're a lot richer for it.
Don't listen that's to me, truth. FBI. This is on the dark web, right? I'll just... With my wife, she has a purse. We'll go to CVS and we'll get some freaking popcorn. Or not popcorn. Sorry.
You ordered the popcorn in the purse.
In my head. I mean, we've done it once. We made popcorn at home and brought it. I was like, put it in the bag. No, like M&M's and like a 20-ounce Coke, and you'll pre-open it. So it's already, you've done that out on the side, so you don't just in the middle.
You went in the restroom to open it real quick.
Yeah. So like, because I spent more on the snacks and I did the ticket times that it was stale. I'm spending up like $18 on like the M&Ms, the Coke and the popcorn the popcorn was stale. The Coke was flat. The M&Ms were fine, but I don't want to drink the Coke with the M&Ms. You know what I mean? Cause it's terrible.
Yeah.
So
I get it.
And this is a tirade, but it's like literally I've been burned like 4 or 5 times. And each time you're not getting burned for like $4.
No. Yeah. You're getting burned for like $15.
And when I went up there, I tried a different, like a Dr. Pepper, it was flat. And I was like, I just don't want anything else.
Yeah.
Like now I'm just going to drink Sprite, like 42 ounces of Sprite in this giant cup that I don't want.
Don't you be mean to Sprite like that.
It's just not theaters. That's not what I want when I go to the theater.
Now, I will agree there. Sprite is not a theater drink.
Oh, no, nothing against Sprite. Yeah.
I drink Sprite in the theater all the time.
Put him on a list. He's on a watch list. Here. This guy. Right?
All right. What's your experience? Yeah. What's your
modern day?
Go on with the yearly bucket of popcorn. You pay $5 or whatever for your refill.
It's a Ponzi scheme.
It's great. The best is when you have to wait for the popcorn because you know that sucker is working hard.
So yeah, I'll definitely say, like, every time that I've been to the theater that we've gotten popcorn in recent memory, mm-hmm. outside of Barbenheimer weekend,
sure. That's an outlier, though.
Yeah, it was hard, good. Yeah, like, the popcorn was good and fresh.
My biggest complaint is sometimes you just get the bit where you get the small bits. It's just the bucket's full of small bits. Yeah. Like, it doesn't taste
bad.
You
want, like, the fully popped popcorn.
Yeah, you get, like, big popcorn.
Three or four good handfuls on top, and then underneath it's just bits all the way to the bottom.
crumbs all the way down.
It's like a Dairy Queen blizzard. Big
bucket. It's like a sand pit. Or something. Like a ball pit at McDonald's, and kids are just sinking in it. You're just like, why is this sandy? It's all the little bits. But I love that you've had great experiences. I've just gotten burned a lot. But my go-to normally is still peanut M&M's, popcorn, Coke.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so for me, it's not just about snacks, right? So we kind of tirated about people in the theater and if they've become animals and don't know how to, you know, sit for 2 hours.
They're cattle.
They have.
Without looking at their phone or going to the bathroom. Or whatever. But still, some of my favorite moments are being in a big crowd for a big moment. Like, you go back to, like, mm-hmm. Avengers Endgame, right?
That's
the quintessential for the past. Man.
Yeah,
you know,
just
six
like
years.
Lose your mind.
Huge moment. Everyone roars. You know, Spider-Man Homecoming, you know, the crowd roars, and then you watch that movie at home and you realize there was no sound then. You're like, oh, they expect it. They're like, if the crowd doesn't make noise,
they knew the crowd was going to be
nothing. Yeah.
So when I saw Endgame, again, this is a perfect example of, like, the crowd makes it. I had this lady and her, it looked like her dad and her, probably her mom, because it was two older people, and then her, she was probably in her younger 30s, and they were in, like, their 60s, sat next to me, and they all had different shirts on. One of them had, like, Hawkeye, one of them had Hulk, and she had Captain America.
They were in it.
Yeah. She had Captain America on her shirt, and then when he makes the appearance in Endgame and he steps out of those shadows, she went, "Yes, Daddy," as loud as she could, and I lost it. It made the entire movie way better, just listening to them and their commentary. Normally, I'm like, keep your commentary to yourself.
Stop talking.
They were fantastic. Because they were so hype and they were so into it that it made me hype and into it.
I was
I
was gonna say, I remember the first X-Men film.
Yeah.
The moment when they're having the fight around the Statue of Liberty, and you have, like, the hallway where it's like Storm and Wolverine, and he's, like, talking to her about, you know, like, there's, you know, people afoot or whatever, and he's like walking close to her. There's this little kid, like, a couple rows back behind him, goes, "That's not Wolverine." It was just amazing.
So I think one of my favorite, like, group memories was actually in pretty recent when we went and saw Rogue One, and Steven was there. And opening night, and the Vader scene happens at the end. And the whole theater just lost their mind. And it was incredible, just for, like, those, you know, 30 seconds or whatever, because you're just like, this is what we've been waiting for.
Right. Yeah.
And that one was a really big moment. And then Attack of the Clones, when Yoda brought out his lightsaber for the first time. And I understand that the movie's not that great.
Rubber bouncy ball, baby.
But that first moment, whenever he takes out the lightsaber, and this is the first time it's ever happened on screen. Like, people lost their minds, and it was really cool.
Especially when you go to an opening night, there's just more hype.
It is. And I think that's one of the only things I really miss about waiting in line for, like, a premiere night or whatever, is because you really have this camaraderie with everyone that's in line with you.
Well, people are building up for, you know, like, you're all there for the same reason.
And postulate on what's going to come and what's going to be in the movie and that kind of stuff, which is really fun. But I do like just being able to go and get my popcorn and walk into the theater and sit down.
Well, that's, I think, the biggest problem I have, and it was the biggest issue I always had trying to talk friends into going to opening nights.
Yeah.
Was, like, especially, like, a midnight screening. There's all sorts
of
factors.
You got to get there at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, well, everyone was working. You have to, you know, the next day, I'm going to stay up till 5 a.m. And then you got to get there at 7.
All hyped up on Coke and popcorn.
You got to get people that are down to clown for that. But then the other thing, now, even more modern, even if you don't have, like, a midnight release on a Thursday, just, like, a Friday night is, like, it's going to be busy. I'm going to have to wait so long for my popcorn. I'm going to get in there. There's going to be crying babies.
I remember, like, for the longest time post, you know, COVID, you know, when we were going into theater to review movies or just for films we wanted to see, it was like, hey, you just walk in, buy your popcorn, you know, get your ticket scanned, go in. And we went in for Super Mario Brothers, which, of course, you know,
was big.
Did Gangbusters is probably the first Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun Maverick.
Yeah.
But I don't see, I don't remember.
Like the, had like the blockbuster feel.
Just because we went to that, like that pre-screening of it, I don't remember being in the theater in the same way for Super Mario Bros. Where it's like, hey, this is just like a Saturday and it's just jam-packed. Kids are dressed up. And that moment was like, man, kind of missed it when I was coming in here, like theaters going out of business and it's just me and three other people in this theater.
It's just me. So, like outside of the actual poor experience that I had, the electricity that you had for Barbenheimer weekend was I think the closest we've gotten back to those kind of like Saturday night weekends back in like you know the early 2000s, late 90s. Yeah, it was an event because everyone was there for those movies.
They're tuned in. Yeah.
And it was a really fun experience. For that, the actual movie-going experience was terrible.
Sure.
But it was middle of summer. Air conditioning doesn't work in Alabama theaters. I'm sorry.
It worked fine for me.
Yeah. So, okay, one last – well, actually, hold on. My go-to snack, because I didn't
oh, yeah.
You didn't cover
We get a so if we're going, like, all out.
Yeah.
We have some Andrew's built-up like, points.
Andrew's pretending like this is Five Guys or he's going to drop $50 on
Yeah, well, no, most of the time we you know, we'll do like every like three or four movies, like the fourth movie will be like, oh, we're going to get, you know, candy, popcorn, for me, slushy.
It depends on the movie.
Yeah, like Dune 2, we're going to go all out for it. Like we're really looking forward to this.
Are you getting that Dune popcorn bucket? No. it, coward.
I was actually going to bring up popcorn dog kids. But yeah, so my snack of choice is basically Coke slushy.
Fresh down the sandworm gullet.
You prevert.
A bunch of crunch, a little box, and then some popcorn.
Yeah.
But yeah, so popcorn buckets have been kind of like the new trend that AMC is really trying to push. And like we got like the Ecto one from Ghostbusters Afterlife when it came out, which is just, you know, you just pop open the top of
that
it.
That thing was pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Yeah. And I've actually kind of liked a lot of like the popcorn buckets that they've come out with. Then you have silly ones like the Dune one, which is just the sandworm, which is just a sphincter, and it's just like,
it's like I wonder, like, if someone on the marketing team
they knew
so innocent that they were like, "What?
Oh no!"
Or was
no
it
way.
Like, "Hey, what if we What if we did this?" And they're like, "No way! See if they'll print it." And they print it. Oh my god!
Well, so what it needed to be was a Jamba Jar.
Oh, he signed off.
Do I?
It needed to be the box that he puts his hand.
The Jamba Jar. But see, the problem is that box is from the first film.
That's the problem.
It doesn't missed opportunity.
That's just a missed opportunity for them, you know, back in like 2021.
I'm gonna cram my fist into Shia Halud.
But there have been some really fun ones. So like I don't really want to go see the new Ghostbusters movie, but the popcorn bucket that they have, which is the ghost trap that has the translucent like plastic, which is the actual
that's
bucket.
Where the popcorn goes?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Good one, right?
I would just go to get that.
You need that just because you got to put it with your Ecto-1.
Yeah.
They gotcha.
I really don't want to go see that movie.
Well, I didn't want to see the Transformers film, but they had the whole, you know, Optimus Prime was your bucket where the 18 wheeler with the
which is cool,
right? It's a cool concept, but like at the same time, this is a lot of just junk money on plastic.
I was gonna say, I'm just not a sucker for that stuff because I don't collect popcorn buckets, so I'm not going. But if I bought one,
it's only some been of a them thing for like 2 years.
I think some of them are kind of fun, for D&D hat, they had like the big
D20, the big D20,
that is cool. Yeah. I knew that.
All right, so you know we're kind of winding down here, but before we go, we do have to talk about our Patreon.
No. Before that, I want to hear from people in our Discord comments on social. I want to hear what your ideal movie theater experience is.
Yeah,
zero people in the theater. I'm the only one.
Is it
free.
Ice cold? I mean, is it blazing hot? What kind of snacks do you get?
I want it ice cold for the first half of the movie, blazing hot for
the second. No, the real 4D experience
for Dune. You got to dig out the old Batman 4D clip that was buried somewhere in our vaults of us talking about where people bought the 4D tickets not realizing they were 4D. So they're just, it's Gotham, so it rains all the time. So just get sprayed with water for the whole movie.
I want a hot dog that's hot on the outside and cold in the middle.
Bring back those corn memories.
I've got to hit my past trauma head on to get over it.
All right. So, yeah, we do need to talk about our Patreon before we leave. For just $1 a month, you can absolutely support the show. It's the best way to support to directly support the show outside of just listening and reviewing the show, which we'd greatly appreciate.
It's just a dollar, but you can give us more, and then you get access to all of our bonus content, which this month, March, we have a March Madness movies at the what'd we call it?
Movies at March Madness? I don't remember now.
March Madness at the movies.
There it is. March Madness at the movies. Anyways, we looked at a bunch of movies that came out in the month of March. We seeded the bracket throughout a lot of different years.
Yeah.
We seeded the bracket, and then we
had some wild head-to-head matchups, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's fun. We also have a Patreon picks poll going on right now that you can go and vote on. If you're a Patreon subscriber, for just $1 a month, you get to do this. And what that means is that you get to look at the list of curated movies. This month is comedic heist film. So that's Pink Panther Strikes Again. We have
Ocean's Eleven,
Snatch, Fantastic Mr. Fox, and Tower Heist.
Yeah.
And basically what that means is you can go and vote on it. We'll review it. And patrons get early access to that before it hits the main feed a little bit early.
Yeah, that's right. Just for just $1 a month, you can help dictate the future of this podcast.
But the real meat of the Patreon is the bonus episode.
The bonus episode. Yeah, you want to hear us give relationship advice to ChatGPT, fight presidents. We get wild with this. We do chip tier lists, soda tier lists. We make ourselves sick.
And it's a different format than our normal episodes, if you can't tell.
Well, we get pretty wild. We do quiz shows. They're really, really fun. And guaranteed one a month. Sometimes more, you never know.
Yeah, and also, if you want to preview any of those Patreon episodes, in our main feed, we have 15, 10-minute previews of those episodes. Yeah. You can listen to it, try before you buy.
Get a feel for what it's like.
Yeah.
All right, so that does sound like all the time we have. And, as always, follow us on social, leave us a review wherever you're listening now, and share us with a friend. We'd really appreciate it. So until next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Steven.
And every spoiler was intended.